This is the jobs news worried investors and economists have been waiting for, but really didn't want to hear.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Tiotakis. It is definitely not good news. The unemployment rate is back up to 9.1%. The Labor Department reports employers added just 54,000 jobs last month, which is the fewest in 8 months. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch. She's with us live from New York, as she is every Friday. Wish it was under better circumstances this time around, Jill. It's bad to be sure, but just how bad?
It is pretty awful. The consensus estimate was for around 150,000 new jobs to be created and for the unemployment rate to tick down a little bit. This report was such a big disappointment because it's a big step back. The news follows good reports in the prior 3 months when job creation averaged 220,000 per month.
You know, the timing of this is really bad, too, because the Fed is close to ending its easy money policy to encourage lending and spending. Does this maybe change that plan, do you think?
I don't think the Fed's going to restart its bond buying strategy when it winds down at the end of this month. And the reason is that it's just not clear that would create a real boost to the economy. Now, politicians could renew some of last year's temporary tax cuts and credits. But, you know, at the end of the day, economic growth has not been fast enough to encourage employers to hire more people. I always think the only reason employers add to their payrolls is because they have to when they need more hands to process the business that's coming in. We're just not seeing that kind of activity across enough sectors to propel consistent job growth. And that's really the disappointment. And of course, with 14 million people or so out of work, we do really need a better job creation plan.
Well, Jill, very quickly, is there any end to this in sight, do you think?
You know, I always say that when it looks the darkest, yes, there is end in sight. This could be a temporary slowdown. We certainly did have some strange factors in the first part of this year, including weather and the economic, the earthquake and the tsunami in Japan. So it could be that we see a pickup in the second half of the year, and I very rarely like to bet against the U.S. economy.
Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch. Thanks for your take this morning.
Great to be with you.
And now how world markets are taking this breaking news. The numbers you'd expect, given the global repercussions. European stocks are falling fast at the moment, down 0.2% in London and Paris, off around 0.5% in Frankfurt. June 1st was supposed to be the day would-be dispensaries of medical marijuana in Arizona could start submitting their applications to the state. But that date came and went without a single application being processed. As KJZZ's Peter O'Dowd reports from Phoenix, it's not for lack of interest.
Perhaps it's fitting that Bob Marley ushers in this week's grand opening of WeGrow. It's a supply superstore that owners describe as the Walmart of weed. The shelves are full of fertilizer and hydroponic gear. WeGrow is not a dispensary, but it does cater to medical marijuana growers. And right now in Arizona, that clientele includes about 4,000 patients who can legally use the drug. The only way they'll get it is by growing the weed themselves. That's because a lawsuit between Arizona and the federal government has put dispensary applications on hold.
It's going to be an uphill battle for a while.
Dar Mann is the founder of WeGrow. He says the state's lawsuit is an 11th-hour surprise. Investors who hope to open a dispensary have been prepping since November, ever since voters approved medical marijuana. Still, Mann hopes the lawsuit will eventually get the industry moving.
If the intentions are genuine to provide more clarity in order to protect state employees and protect dispensary owners, then I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing.
All this drama began last month with a letter from the U.S. attorney in Arizona. It reminded the state's health department that selling marijuana in the United States is illegal, and anyone who does it could face jail time.
That's a pretty scary business model.
Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn is worried, not only for the state employees who would stamp the applications, but also for the 120 or so entrepreneurs who would eventually distribute the pot.
So if they go into business thinking it's legal under state law, and the federal government comes in and arrests them and starts prosecuting them and they're facing prison, I think that's a terrible situation.
But the situation is already uncomfortable for Brooks Elliott. He's a prospective dispensary owner who needed $150,000 in cash before the state would even consider his application.
It's a nerve-wracking thing. You know, how can you walk away from spending X amount of dollars and just shake your head and say that's the way it has to be? You know, it's serious money.
Business leaders predict the state's medical marijuana industry could be worth more than $2 billion a year. In Phoenix, I'm Peter O'Dowd for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ.
Sony has apparently fallen victim yet again to an online security breach. This time it's movie site Sony Pictures. More from Marketplace's Gregory Warner.
Yesterday's attack on Sony Pictures wasn't nearly as extensive a breach as the hack on the PlayStation Network. This time, no credit card numbers were taken, but emails, home addresses, and dates of birth were exposed. It'll cost Sony millions of dollars to clean up, redesign, and reinsure their site.
The implications and the costs associated with a data breach are huge for any company, but it's all the more amplified if you are a household name like Sony is.
Chris Green analyzes technology for the firm Davies Murphy in London. He says this is the latest in a series of large public attacks on companies that the hackers contend are abusing public trust or simply ripping people off. The hackers called Sony's security disgraceful. They revealed that Sony had left over a million user passwords in plain text.
To keep that amount of sensitive data sat there in the clear, in an unencrypted file, is quite frankly stupid. And there is no excuse for it.
Green says Sony is starting to be seen as not serious about security. That's a bad reputation these days. I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Finally, London's Telegraph reports Britain's M16 intelligence agency has been hacking an online magazine used as a recruiting tool by Al-Qaeda. One of the issues was supposed to feature bomb-making instructions. Instead, the paper says the Brit anti-terror team was able to replace the page with a bunch of cupcake recipes. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Can you imagine a future where the interest payment alone on our national debt is $300 billion? Albert Brooks can.
The future is not going to be all good or all bad. Even in a disaster, there's good that comes out of it. And even in a beautiful wedding, three people are sick throwing up in the hall.
I'm Tess Vigeland. He's got a whole lot more of that. 2030, the novel. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.